For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Early Duncan had it, they turned it over. Alley-oop back to Kevin.
Oh, baby! Woo! KD!
You can see it coming, and the building is electric off that slam dunk.
Oh! Josh Okogie! May the force be with you! Oh, my goodness, Carl Anthony Towns! He is not human! He is catastrophic!
Hello, and welcome to the A Wolf Among Wolves podcast. I am your host, Brendan Hedke. As always, you can find me on Twitter at @B_HedkeNBA. You can find the show on Twitter at @AWAW_podcast. And as always, this podcast is brought to you by the A Wolf Among Wolves Podcast Network on awolfamongwolves.com. So today is, this is a postgame pod. Minnesota Timberwolves just beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I don't think I've done a postgame pod directly after a win. I could be wrong. Maybe I did one earlier. But we haven't had many wins, so I think I would remember that. But either way, the Timberwolves did win 109-104 against the Cavaliers, and yeah, this game was a game that it looked like the Cavaliers were probably going to win throughout the first half. They were threatening to go into the second half up by double digits until a couple nice threes were made by the Timberwolves to cut it to 6 points at halftime, which was something that the Wolves desperately needed. And then the second half, they just came out guns blazing, and offense kind of took over, and the defense kind of took over in a way as well. But we're gonna get to a bunch of different things, because I think there was a bunch of individuals that just played really well tonight, and that's like something that I think is really worth mentioning. But the first person I think we need to talk about, and we're not gonna spend a lot of time on them, but it's Ed Davis. So Ed Davis tonight's game, he had 0 points. Right? Okay, I'm starting out a show talking about Ed Davis, and I'm going to talk highly of him, and he had 0 points, like crazy, right? But no, Ed Davis really did have a solid game. He ended the night with 0 points. He had 5 rebounds, 1 assist, but he also had 3 steals, 3 blocks, and was a plus 16 on the night. Highest on the team. Wolves won by 5, and he was a plus 16 in 23 minutes. Davis played pretty solid defense on Andre Drummond. Obviously, he did foul out. He had 6 fouls, but he used them in smart ways. He wasn't really letting Andre Drummond get and ones. He was kind of taking away shots that would have been easy makes and turning them into making Andre Drummond earning them at the line, and I think that really helped. Obviously, the box score is not going to look great. Drummond ended with 25 points, 22 rebounds, and 4 assists. He dominated in a sense. But Ed Davis did shore up some of that, and not all of those rebounds and assists were on, or rebounds and points were on Davis. Some were on Jared Vanderbilt as well. But I just thought Ed Davis was a really steady presence for the Timberwolves tonight, and I thought that was really important. But I don't want to spend too much time on him, but the plus 16 is pretty impressive, to say the least. But the next person I want to talk about is our, hashtag NBA star, Malik Beasley. Malik Beasley this season is averaging now over 20 points per game. He was averaging 20 coming into tonight's game. And tonight he scored 23 points. He got 3 rebounds and dished out 2 assists, 1 steal, only 1 turnover. He was a -2 in 28 minutes. But Beasley was kind of the reason that the Timberwolves were in this game somewhat at the beginning. Beasley ended up the night 9 of 17 from the field, 5 of 11 from 3, which makes him at 4 for 6 from 2-point land, which is really impressive. He was 0 for 2 from free throw, though. I think he had an and one he missed the free throw on, and then he missed the technical free throw as well. But Malik Beasley shot the ball really well to start the game, which is something that The Timberwolves kind of needed, because especially I think in that second quarter he was doing pretty well because the Timberwolves didn't have a lot. And him just kind of keeping the Wolves in that game was probably one of the most important reasons for the Timberwolves winning. They just played really poorly in spurts, and then Malik Beasley would kind of just make a shot that kind of kept the Timberwolves back in this game. So to end like the second quarter going into halftime, Malik Beasley, I think he made two back-to-back threes, if I remember correctly. Or no, D'Angelo Russell made a three, and then Beasley made one, you know, with one or 2 seconds left in that crazy kind of step back, dribble move, end of the clock situation in the corner. But Beasley also had another shot made to cut it to 10 with about a minute left. And then Beasley cut it down to 7. Colin Sexton made a layup, brought it back up to 9, and then Beasley hit that 3 and got it down to 6, which was something that the Wolves just needed, because if they went into halftime, you know, down 9 or down double digits, like, you know, it's kind of tough to come back from that. Like, obviously, there's a lot of time left, but 6 is definitely better than 9 or 11 points. So that was good to see. But I just thought that Beasley deserved some praise because he hasn't had, like, he's been getting a little bit of praise, but not to the point where anybody's, like, written a big piece on why Malik Beasley's been really good this year or his development or anything like that. Like, he's not getting recognition around the NBA as a whole. Nobody's really talking about Malik Beasley. But he's played a really, really good season so far. And, yeah, I don't have much else to say about him. Obviously, defensively, you know, he has lapses and he's not the best defender in the world. But, man, Malik Beasley, you know what? You got to give the man props, and that's what I'm doing right now. We're giving Malik Beasley a little bit of props, a little bit of, you know, way to go, man, because he deserves it. Scoring over 20 points a game, he deserves it. I know the Wolves are 5-14 or whatever, but Beasley definitely deserves some love, and that's what we're giving to him right now. The next person we need to talk about is D'Angelo Russell. Down the stretch, D'Angelo Russell made some important shots that really helped the Timberwolves win this game. The Wolves kind of needed a little spark there at the end. And as much as I just talked really highly of Beasley there for a minute or two, Beasley wasn't the most impactful player down the stretch tonight. And we kind of needed D'Angelo Russell to show up there. And that's what D'Angelo Russell did. So with 5 minutes left, D'Lo made a three to put the Wolves back up by 10 points, 92-102. And then Andre Drummond came down next possession, made a layup. D'Lo answered right back with another three, got the Wolves up by 11. And then further down the stretch, D'Angelo Russell just did, not further down the stretch, but he just looked really good in that stretch right there. And it kind of just made the Timberwolves have that push to get them to where they needed to go. But I would be remiss to not talk about, he did take some ill-advised shots there towards the end of the game. You know, some pull-up jumpers early in the shot clock when the defense was set. Those types of things aren't necessarily what the Timberwolves need in that situation. Luckily, we escaped still with the win. But those things can hurt a Timberwolves team. But though you can't deny those two back-to-back threes were some of the biggest momentum things that kind of propelled the Timberwolves to winning this game. So I thought that was really important. And, you know, D'Angelo Russell hasn't been there to close out games, it seems like, this year. So to see that now was really impressive. And to see that he obviously still has that in him. Because Wolves fans have been questioning D'Angelo Russell all season. And he was never supposed to be the star. But with Karl-Anthony Towns, we know, he's kind of been thrust into that role. So hopefully Towns can come back soon. Russell can fall back into his secondary star role. And then have Beasley as that tertiary star. And then whatever fourth is, I don't know, secondary, tertiary, I don't know what fourth is, but that's what Anthony Edwards needs to be. And that's the next player we're going to talk about. Anthony Edwards. Man, I just got to say it. I think this was the best game we've seen from Anthony Edwards this season. I don't know if it was his most points he's ever scored, I think he scored 25 or something before. But he ended the night. We'll just go up and we'll just look at Anthony Edwards' box score, because he filled up the box score tonight. I mean, he wasn't getting a triple-double or anything like that. But what Edwards did was ended the game 23 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 0 turnovers. He was a even 0 for the night. He wasn't plus, he wasn't minus, which isn't like the greatest thing, but for a guy that's been a minus most of the time, having him be an even is pretty good. And not only did he score 23 points, he did it efficiently. He shot 4 for 7 from 3, and he shot 5 for 8 from 2. So overall, he was 9 for 15, and he made his one free throw on that nice and one. But it was more than just Edwards getting 23 points. It was had a lot to do with how he got those 23 points. Tonight, Anthony Edwards' game was a lot different than games we've seen from him. Obviously, yeah, he was still taking shots, and he was still, driving into the lane. He had a couple mid-range jumpers that he missed, but overall, the shot selection and the just overall feel for the game and how he was able to read the defense and understand, okay, this big was pulling up on me as I'm driving. I probably don't have the best shot, but that means somebody is open either out in the corner due to a rotation that the Cleveland Cavaliers had or something. He just recognized that really well tonight, and he's done that in spurts, you know, throughout the year, and I detailed that in a piece I wrote for Wolf Among Wolves, you know, a few weeks ago. But he showed that, like, all game long tonight, and he pieced it together all game long, and this was easily, I think, 100% no doubt his best game of his career so far, his short 19-game NBA career. And it really came into fruition in the second quarter. You know, he had some nice spurts up in the first quarter. You know, he made a layup, actually a couple layups. He made a three. But in the second quarter, I think he ended up scoring 13 points, and he just looked really, really impressive. Excuse me, not the second quarter, the third quarter. He looked really, really impressive, which is, you know, huge for a Timberwolves team that's kind of struggled in third quarters all year long. They're like league worst plus minus in third quarters. And for a rookie to step up and like take care of that tonight, I think that was, you know, really impressive. It started out, he made a three a couple minutes into the quarter off of a nice pass from D'Angelo Russell. And then he actually went out and assisted Russell on a three, which was the Timberwolves' next made basket, which put the Wolves up by one. And then he made a three of his own after Larry Nance went down and made his, or took the lead back for the Cavs. Anthony Edwards came down, another three assisted by D'Angelo Russell, which was huge. And then he made a nice, I don't know if it's like a mid-range jumper or something, you know, with about 5-6 minutes left in the quarter. And then he made another three-pointer with Jalen Noel assisting him to take the lead back again with 4.5 minutes left. And he just looked, I can't say enough about how good he looked and how comfortable he looked tonight, and how well he just read the floor and just making these passes that, you know, rookies his age don't make a lot of the time. And I don't, yeah, man. He just looked good. And Anthony Edwards is one of the best interviewers in the NBA already as a rookie, and I hope it never changes, because he is just one of the most refreshing players to listen to in an interview. Because he's super honest, he, you know, tells you what's on his mind, he tells you what he sees, he tells you exactly what he thinks, and that's not something that a lot of NBA players do. They're kind of conditioned to, you know, give the answer that they think reporters want to hear, but really reporters just want to hear, you know, the truth. But you get it, the organization doesn't want them to spill every bean, whatever, but that's kind of what Anthony Edwards does, and not necessarily in a bad way, but he's great to listen to. They asked him tonight about, you know, playing alongside Malik and D'Angelo Russell, because now Edwards has started 2 games in a row, and that's kind of been like the offensive motor, and this is what he had to say about that. He said, quote, "They can't help off D'Lo and Bees because they can shoot, and they can't help off me because I can shoot every now and again." And then he was laughing while he said that. But it's true, like, Anthony Edwards can shoot. He's not the most efficient. It was an efficient night tonight. He's not the most efficient player, but he has a nice-looking jump shot. And I think the more he gets comfortable, the better shooter he's going to become. Maybe probably not ever going to be a 40% three-point shooter. He's probably going to be a somewhat inefficient player for most of his career, but he won't be as inefficient as he's been right now. So that's important to notice. Another quote that is just, like, just kind of encapsulate who Anthony Edwards is as a player is this other one that he had in tonight's post game. He said, quote, "Man, I was having fun because we were playing together. People would think I was having fun because I was playing good. I don't care about that. Like, we winning, my team winning, everybody having great success, everybody happy," end quote. He just wants to have fun, it sounds like. He just wants to win basketball games. And for a guy that apparently doesn't love basketball from, you know, obviously tons of different things earlier this year, he sure seems to love winning basketball games, and hopefully he can help us win some more basketball games over his career, because he has been, he's been really, really important for that as well. The other person I wanted to talk about, okay, so this player had a solid game. He had some rough moments. He had some really nice bright spots. And I'm going to bring it down a little bit, but it was Jake Lehman. So Lehman tonight, it's kind of difficult. Lehman had some nice cuts to the basket where you got fed, had a nice dunk, couple nice dunks, couple nice drives. But I was asked on Twitter this after the game, and somebody asked if they saw Jake Lehman having a chance to work his way back in the rotation. Of course, there's always a chance that a guy does that, but Jake Lehman, he seems pretty far out of the rotation with a fully healthy Timberwolves team. You know, it kind of seems like in that 3-4 role, you have so many guys ahead of him. You mean like McDaniels and Culver, and Noel's going to take some wing minutes probably before Lehman, and Culver's going to take minutes before Lehman, and probably Wancho will even get 4 minutes before Lehman. So, like, I think it's going to be really hard for Jake Lehman to kind of work his way back into the rotation. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Jake Lehman as a guy that gets traded here, you know, pretty quickly. Because he does have a contract that's not a minimum contract, but it's a little bit bigger, but not too much bigger. But if you need to make up a few million to get a trade done, like, that's the type of player you kind of do that with. So I could see a world where Jake Lehman is traded if the Timberwolves are in the market for some trades later on, because I think that there's just not a clear-cut role for him on this team, and he hasn't played well enough really to kind of warrant giving him a role even throughout, like, a bad stretch. Like, he's not that good a player. Like, you're going to give Anthony Edwards minutes even if he's playing poorly, because that's your number one pick and you're kind of building for the future. Same with, like, D'Angelo Russell, same with Karl-Anthony Towns, same with, you know, Josh Okogie's going to get minutes because he's such a good defender that even if his offense isn't doing too well, you're still got to play him because he's, like, your best defender, right? Jake Lehman's not in that bin. If he's not playing well, he's not playing because he just doesn't contribute in other ways, and, like, he's not that integral of a part to this team's long-term success. So I don't necessarily think Lehman has a great chance to work his way back into the rotation if the Wolves are fully healthy at any point, which it kind of seems like they never will be. Kind of seems like a Timberwolves curse. But I just want to touch on Jake Lehman because he did have an okay game tonight, but he also made some mistakes, like not recognizing that shot clock was running down and causing a, you know, shot clock violation and things like that, and kind of getting manhandled in the post and not being willing to help on defense. Like, if you're the type of guy that's trying to work back into the rotation, you have to be making those extra efforts on that, on the defensive side of the ball, to help in the post on Andre Drummond, or, you know, like, give that extra effort. Because if you're not in the rotation, like, give it all on the line, because, like, what do you have to lose, kind of situation. So that's kind of where I'm at with Jake Lehman. Yeah, so other than that, before I get a little bit further into a couple other players that I do want to talk about, I want to talk about the game quick overall. The Timberwolves were out-rebounded really poorly tonight. It was 55-34. the Cavs pulled down 21 more rebounds. 21. It's not good. Obviously, the Timberwolves lacked a lot of size. Ed Davis was our biggest guy. And then it was Vanderbilt. And then it was, like, McDaniels and Lehman. Like, we didn't have a lot of size. So we knew getting out-rebounded was going to be a problem. And that's kind of why it didn't seem like the Wolves had a great chance in this game. But what the Wolves did well was they turned the Cavs over 19 times and only had 8 turnovers of their own, which is really huge because, one, you got more shot attempts because you didn't turn the ball over. The Wolves, with less rebounds, ended up shooting 7 more shots than the Cavs because they didn't turn the ball over. Only 8 turnovers is, like, really good. They also shot the ball really well from 3. They were 16 of 40, so they were 40%. As a team, there's not much more you can ask. The Cavs were 4 of 16. I don't know why they only shot 16 threes, but they could have been well served to shoot some more. But the Cavs shot better from the field overall than the Timberwolves did. They were 41 of 84. The Wolves were 41 of 91. The Cavs got to the line more. It really came down to turnovers and block shots. The Cavs only had 3 blocks. The Wolves had 11. You had 3 from McDaniels, you had 3 from Davis, 2 from Okogie, 1 from Edwards, 1 from Vanderbilt, and 1 from Lehman. The Cavs had 1 from Nance, 1 from Drummond, and 1 from Allen. So those were kind of the big stories. You know, the Timberwolves eliminated 11 of the 84 shots that the Cavs got with blocks. And only had 3 of their own shots eliminated. And they got those more shots because they didn't turn the ball over. And that kind of was the difference in the game tonight. But now moving on, I wanted to talk about Ricky Rubio. Rubio did play fairly decent tonight. He had some questionable moves. He missed some layups that he probably should have made. He took some shots he shouldn't have took. And he took some... Yeah, he made some bad passes, but he also had some really good passes. And I think the Timberwolves' offense flowed better because when he was in there... You know, Saunders was visibly calling out and audibly calling out the plays during the game. Rubio ended with 8 points, 8 assists, 3 rebounds, only 1 turnover, which was huge. He was a +2 on the night, and he was 4-for-4 from free throw, and he was 2-for-4 from the field, so he didn't shoot too much. Didn't take any threes. Really played within himself tonight. Again, like I said, a couple bad moves here and there, but overall, pretty solid game from Ricky Rubio. The next person, Josh Okogie. I don't know who Josh Okogie thinks he is on offense. Step back threes, pull up jumpers, that's not your game. And I got a little pushback on Twitter when I said that because they're saying that's what, you know, the coaching staff is telling, you know, Josh Okogie to shoot. And that's true. And I guess I don't know this 100% for sure, but I'm pretty confident that Ryan Saunders isn't telling Josh Okogie to shoot pull-up jumpers and shoot step-back threes. I think Ryan Saunders is telling Josh Okogie to shoot, you know, open catch-and-shoot corner threes or open catch-and-shoot above-the-break threes. And he, you know, he does do that, but the step-back ones and these pull-up mid-range jumpers just isn't who Josh Okogie is, not who Josh Okogie ever has been, and probably isn't who Josh Okogie ever will be. You kind of just hope that he can just be a 35% catch-and-shoot three-point shooter, which he hasn't been, which sucks because he's your best defender and you want him to play. But on offense, you need him to play more of a power forward role, but I don't know if he necessarily understands how the power forward in this team is supposed to play. So it gets a little dicey in there. But overall, Josh Okogie still got to the line 6 times. He was 5-for-6 from the line because he is really good at drawing fouls. So if he has a pretty clear lane to drive to the hoop, he's probably going to either finish a layup or get fouled, which is good, but you need more from him on the offensive side of the ball. But I will, you know, he was a +4 on the night, which is good. And that's important to winning basketball games, is just being a positive when you're on the court. And he does that with his defense and his hustle. He had 4 rebounds and 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, and not a single turnover. So that was good to see out of Josh Okogie. The other player I did want to talk about, Jaden McDaniels. He continues to impress the ever-living heck out of me. And he only had 3 points tonight. He had 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. But he had 3 blocks, 0 turnovers, and was a +5 in 20 minutes. He just looks so poised, and he just knows exactly what he's supposed to do on the court 85% of the time. And that's more than we can say for most people on the Timberwolves. On both sides of the ball, he's legitimately one of the Wolves' best two-way players. He's not a great offensive threat right now. You know, he's got a decent jumper, which I think is pretty mechanically sound. It's not like 100% the prettiest, but I think he's got a solid jumper. He's got a good base. I think he uses his follow-through well. He gets the ball high, but not too high. He's not trebucheting it like Gorgui Dieng. He's not shooting from his chest like Kevin Martin. You know, he's got a good shot. And he just knows where to be on the floor. He makes some solid passes. He does make mistakes, but he's a rookie, and he makes a lot less mistakes than we thought he was going to make. But on defense, he knows where to be. He is very good at timing his shot blocking abilities and using those abilities as a strength rather than a weakness for like getting a bunch of fouls. He does he does foul a little bit more than, you know, you would like, but as a rookie who's not going to play 35 minutes a game, you can use some of those fouls if they are in like good situations. He uses his length well when guarding shooters. He moves, this is going to sound a little weird, but he moves quickly, slowly. Like I don't know how to put it into words, but if you've watched him play, you kind of understand what I'm talking about. Like, he gets to his spots when he needs to, but he doesn't look like out of control getting there like Vanderbilt does. Like, he's very just like not nonchalant, but very intentional of getting there, but not like getting all hyped up about getting there. And that's what we've seen from McDaniels, which is just really impressive out of a rookie. And there was one specific play that just stuck out in my mind. And Larry Nance was trying to post up on Jaden McDaniels, and he just like couldn't get anywhere on him. Now McDaniels has like 2 inches on Larry Nance, but Larry Nance has like 60 pounds on McDaniels, and he couldn't move him. And that was just kind of impressive to me. Like, there's going to be games where McDaniels just straight up gets moved because other guys are bigger than him. But it's not going to be like every time he's outweighed by 50 pounds, he's going to be at a 50-pound disadvantage. Like, he uses his small frame a lot better than it looks. And hopefully he adds muscle as he goes through his career, and that's definitely going to help him over time. But I put a tweet out tonight that I think kind of encapsulates what a lot of Timberwolves Timberwolves fans are thinking, and it's just, I said, like, I don't see how you can watch Jaden McDaniels look so poised, look so comfortable on both sides of the floor, and then warrant playing Juancho Hernan Gomez over him. I just don't understand how you can warrant that, and I don't know that Saunders is gonna do that. I hope he doesn't do that, but I could see it happening. They paid Juancho Hernan Gomez, you know, a 3-year contract with the third year being a team option. And just to sit that guy on the bench and even depreciate his value more, I understand that side of it. But if you're committing to winning games this season and you're saying you're not tanking, I think McDaniels is the best option. Because not only are you building for the future, but he seems to be the better option than Juancho right now. Because even if he is small on defense, he gets moved out of the way less than Juancho does. Plus, he's proving to provide just about as much as Juancho does on offense. And a lot more on defense. So, that's my thing. I don't know how you can see Jaden McDaniels not... I don't see how you can say that Juancho's got to play over him. But I'm scared that's what we're going to see. And hopefully, you know, maybe we do, maybe we don't. I don't know. We'll have to see. The last person I did want to talk about individually is Jalen Noel. Noel shot 6 for 13 tonight, but he was 1 for 6 from 3. So his 3-point shot isn't falling right now. But that means he was 5 for 7 from 2, and that was really good. He had some really nice off-the-bounce, like, floaters, kind of runner-type, you know, shots in the painted area, you know, in the mid-range that just, like, looked really impressive. I just don't know if he has a spot in the rotation right now, but he is really interesting because he obviously provides a lot more on the offensive side of the ball than Jarrett Culver does, but he doesn't provide as much defense as Culver does. Right now, Culver's hurt. He's probably going to be out for, you know, a week or two with that ankle sprain. So Noel's going to probably get a shot for a while. But when Culver comes back, if Towns is back, I think that the coaching staff would be... I think you could warrant, as a coaching staff, you know, playing Culver over Noel because of the defense and whatever. But if Noel balls out while Culver's out, you know, there's an argument to be had there for should Noel play over Culver. And I don't want to get too excited about, like, a small sample size with Jalen Noel. But I think the kid can play, and I think that he's going to be in an NBA rotation soon. Is it the Timberwolves? I don't know, but he obviously is comfortable on offense, and once his shots start falling even more, especially a three-point shot, you know, he's going to be a really solid rotation player as a wing, and I think that's going to be his best bet, is just, like, hitting shots. And we'll see what he can bring on defense. I think he's a tough player, so if he competes hard, you know, maybe you can warrant playing him over Culver. We'll have to see how it all transpires when the roster gets healthy, but this rotation is going to be really interesting. You know, what happens with power forward with Vanderbilt and Wancho and McDaniels? What happens with the wings with Culver and, you know, Noel? It's going to be interesting to see, and I'm excited to see it, but I'm also a little nervous to see it. But hopefully once it's set, it's not set in stone. If something has to change, they'll change something. But for right now, all I know is Noel played pretty good tonight, 13 points. But he didn't have a rebound. He only had one assist, one steal. No, and one turnover, but he was a plus three in 19 minutes. So you have to see, does he contribute to winning in other ways too? Culver's a good rebounder, which is something that Noel probably isn't ever going to be because of his size. So it's going to be, you know, there's going to be some advantages and disadvantages to playing either of those guys, and that's a decision that Saunders and Prigioni and Vanderpool and Rosas and whoever else is involved in those decisions needs to make. And I don't know which decision I would make. I'll have to see more from Noel, and I'll have to see Culver again play with Karl-Anthony Towns. I'll have to see Noel play with Karl-Anthony Towns and just see if this team needs defense or offense more. But the argument's always going to be that I think this team needs defense more than offense with a fully healthy roster. And I think that's a fair thing to say. I'm pretty sure most people would agree with that. Yeah, this game was good. The Timberwolves did win this game. They were shorthanded, pretty much everywhere, but especially in their bigs rotation, you know, with Ed Davis and Vanderbilt being your only center options. It's kind of rough, especially when you're going against Larry Nance Jr., Andre Drummond, and Jared Allen for all game long. You know, Nance being a power forward, Nance ended the game with only 2 points. He had 16 rebounds, which is, again, we talked about the rebounding thing, but he had 2 points. So he didn't overpower the undersized power forwards that the Timberwolves matched up against him. Like, Anthony Edwards started basically guarding Larry Nance because Sexton was getting guarded by Okogie. And that's, you in your mind, you kind of think that's a mismatch, but when I looked at the size of Nance and Edwards, Nance is... according to Basketball Reference, he's 6'7", 245. According to Basketball Reference, Anthony Edwards is 6'6", 230. So a 1-inch, 15-pound difference really isn't that big a difference between Edwards and Larry Nance. But obviously two different type of people at that size. But I think that, you know, between McDaniels and Edwards and the bit of Okogie was there, I think they did a good job on Nance, and that was huge for this team because they were obviously outsized in that sense. Maybe not in, like, the guard and wing rotation because Sexton, Garland, or Okoro aren't the biggest, you know, 1-2-3 in the league. They're probably close to the smallest. So the Wolves probably had an advantage there with Russell, Beasley, and Okogie. But yeah, I just thought overall that we did a good the Wolves did a good job combating that size that was brought by the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, I don't want to get too excited about this win. It's one win. The Timberwolves still haven't looked good for most of the season. It's against the Cavs, who were a good team. They were 9-10 heading into tonight. So they played really well. The Cavs have been a good, solid team this year. So I think this is a good win, especially considering they were pretty much fully healthy outside of like Kevin Love, who I don't think has played yet this year. And the Wolves weren't. You know, no Cat, no Nas, no Culver, no Wancho, whether you guys think they matter really or not, whatever. But those guys weren't there. And they had pretty much everybody except for Kevin Love. So I think that's a big thing that has really impressed me this season. But the only other thing that I wanted to bring up is that this quote from Jaden McDaniels, and it was tweeted out by Dane Moore from the press conference after the game tonight, which kind of really resonated with me. So Jaden McDaniels was asked after the game if he heard some of the noise out of the draft that he, quote, wasn't ready to play in the NBA right now. And McDaniels said, not really. People say what they want. That's a really impressive answer to me because he probably did hear those things, but he just chose not to believe them, and he believed in himself, and he kind of bet on himself, you know, in a sense where he's like, I'm going to have that confidence when I get out there and just prove to people that I can play in the NBA. And I was one of those people that didn't think that Jaden McDaniels was ever going to play this season, rotation minutes. I thought he would play if there was problems injury-wise at the power forward position. But I thought there was people that would play over him there too. There was problems at the power forward position, injuries, COVID-related things. He came in and he's played damn good basketball. And I love it. I want to see more of it, but it's the sample size is getting bigger and it's not getting worse, I can tell you that. So it's been really impressive from Jaden McDaniels. But other than that, I don't have much else to say about tonight's game. 109-104, Wolves win, baby. 5-14 on the year. Let me pull up the schedule. I'm pretty sure the Timberwolves do end up playing the Cavs again on Monday, so back-to-back. But this time they are going to Cleveland, and they're playing the Cavs there if they can steal another game. I'm not sure. Getting out-rebounded isn't going to help. After that, they got San Antonio and then a back-to-back against OKC Friday, Saturday at OKC. So they're starting a quick little five-game road trip, which ends in Dallas next Monday. So over the course of the next 8 days, the Wolves will play five games. We got to see if they can take care of business in a few of them. Maybe Karl-Anthony Towns comes back after that road trip, maybe a little bit before, during the middle of it. I don't really know. All I know is tonight the Timberwolves did win, and that felt good. But anyways, thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you did enjoy. If you could, please leave a like rating, subscribe to the podcast, download the podcast in your favorite podcast service, whatever that may be. That would be greatly appreciated. If you leave a review of the podcast, that helps me out a ton, gets it out to a bigger audience. But anyways, again, thank you guys for listening. I really do appreciate it. Check out all my work. I should have a piece coming out the same day this podcast drops on wolfamongwolves.com. And that was one of my favorite pieces, so check that out. But other than that, it's Brendan. Thanks for listening. Wolves win. Peace.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.